Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Tom McGovern, your host. We're coming to you on Christmas Eve and again on New Year's Eve with a message of hope, a message that speaks to our hearts from leaders in our religious community. The voices you will be hearing in this program are from Reverend Elizabeth Abraham, who is the chaplain with Hospice of Lubbock. I might add the sponsor of this wonderful program. Reverend Jennifer Holder, who is the pastor at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church. And last but not least, Reverend Davis Price, who is the emeritus retired pastor from Covenant Presbyterian Church here in Lubbock. And to all three of you, welcome for this very special program, which marks the end of the year. Elizabeth, we've been friends for a long time, and really I'm in awe of the wonderful care you provide for people. And as we look at the end of the year, the gatherings that mark this Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, what comes to mind in terms of a message to people who at this time of the year so profoundly miss some loved ones who have died, or in terms of this coming together at this time?
It is a season of light, of joy, and yet in this time it is also darkness for some and loss and emptiness. So trying to find ways to be with people, as I believe the Holy One is with us, so that we feel that presence, that Thou art with me, and we are reminded that we are not alone.
Precisely, and especially as we gather at the table, you know, table talk, I think, is a sacred part of all great religious traditions, from the Eucharist to the many ways that our brothers and sisters in other communities of faith celebrate the holy times. As people gather around the table, don't you think we should, not literally, but set a place for those who are dead or who are gone?
Some people do set a place, or they put a favorite ornament on the tree, or they make their loved one's favorite food, or they go to the nursing home where their mother died and have a party for the residents.
We are so blessed to have memory. In the sacred haven of memory, what goes on there, Elizabeth, this time of the year, as we remember?
It's such a fullness, remembering those who have gone before, who have been with us and molded us and formed us. It's a good time to look back and see where we have been, who has been with us on that journey. If they are no longer with us, how we honor them and bring them with us to a greater place.
Of course, you and I are storytellers and we love stories. Some of the most hilarious stories I've heard in my lifetime were at Irish wakes, where people have gathered to remember the one who had died, the one who had joined the Lord. Don't you think humor is part of grieving too, that to remember funny stories is not being irreverent or disrespectful, do you think?
I love humor. I use it in my living, in my working. It kind of helps us, I think, to deal with the loss, to probably get it incorporated more fully into our lives if we can use that humor. Sure. Like, I had this patient that couldn't believe some of the things that would come out of my mouth, and he would put his fingers up like the inch thing and say, "You're about to get your butt fired." And we would laugh, and then we would talk about his not wanting to die and knowing he had to die. And also, whenever that has to happen, one of the things is to have a grateful heart. This particular friend had been really given the gift of 43 years from having a very bad cancer scare in his 20s. And so rather than being mad that he was gypped out of more at dying at 63, he was able to affirm, maybe I shouldn't have had these extra 43 years. And so gratitude and humor help us to have a greater life.
Because remembrance is so much pulling together the broken pieces into some sense of meaning. And how do we pursue that, especially at this time of the year?
We are all broken. Often the people that have the greatest need to appear all put together are probably some of the most broken. I love the saying, and I don't know who it was right now, Leonard Cohen, I think, that said there are cracks in all of us, and that's how the light gets in.
Say that again.
There are cracks in all of us, and that's how the light gets in. We are to be messengers of light and love to each other. While I'm not ever grateful for some of the bad things that happened in my childhood, I am so grateful for the person it's made me and the wholeness that has come from that as I walk into the darkness with others and laugh and love and experience our common humanity.
As you think back over your own lifetime, thinking back over Christmases past and New Year's past, any special memories come to mind that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just being with dear ones, helping my husband and my children to understand more fully how we need to be God's people and God's light in this world. Doing that by loving each other, by encouraging them to love others. Food is central.
Of course, the breaking of the bread, and, you know. I always think on the road to Emmaus that when they were so crestfallen and so broken, he appeared to them in the breaking of the bread on that wonderful journey and the wonderful Eucharist, shall we say, Thanksgiving on the road. So
yes, and out of his brokenness, we have greater life and wholeness.
So going forward then into this Christmas season and into the new year, what prayer would you have for us?
That thou art with me speaks to me, but also lately, the serenity prayer.
God grant me the serenity, accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
That's high church, my dear.
It is. And epiphany.
And epiphany, yeah. So listen again, Elizabeth, it's such a joy to have you with us and to share this message with our listeners, but on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, and blessings to you and your family, first of all, but also in the wonderful work that you do at hospice. Again, a word of thanks to Hospice of Lubbock that you represent.
Thank you. It is a privilege for us to do this work.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. And at the beginning of the program, I said we have three voices to celebrate Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And it's now my delight to introduce Reverend Jennifer Holder, who is from St. Christopher's Episcopal Church. And Jennifer, it's great to have you back with us again on these two special evenings.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Jennifer, as you look at Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, what comes to mind for you?
What comes to mind for me out of our tradition is that we've prepared for it during Advent, and it's been a season. It's a wonderful season of preparation of your soul for the coming of Christ. And so it's a culmination. It's not the beginning of Christmas. It's definitely the culmination of the 4 weeks.
And I love in our traditions, you know, to have especially Christmas Eve, the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve on the same day. It's almost the blending,
yes,
shall we say.
Yes, yes. It's the symbiotic nature of both seasons all in one day. And we're going to really enjoy it at St. Christopher's.
As you look at the wonder of this season again, From your own memory, what comes to mind?
Peace, the intimate, wonderful need we all have for peace, which transcends all the liturgical seasons of the year.
As we address our sense of want, of need, which Advent is, how does this season respond to the yearning for you?
One of the scriptures during Advent was, cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And that armor is made up of the spiritual tools that are available to us night and day, all year long, the first being prayer. Prayer is the basis of our faith, and it's not just something you do at church. It's a conversation with God that's continual and never-ending. Meditation, worship, fellowship within a community of faith, all those things keep the armor of light safe. But then there's also the things that we learn from Advent from John the Baptist about repentance and reconciliation. And peace needs those things to happen, and they can happen during Advent. They certainly are a wonderful way to start the new year. It's hard to find peace if you are at odds with yourself, your God, your family, if the world is not at peace or seeking peace.
And we're coming, you know, on both these special occasions, we're coming to family gatherings. Not always peace and light, my dear, you know.
No, they're not. But if you can go with that sense of reflection and forgiveness, I call Jesus' birth God's desperate measure of love, a desperate measure to show that He wants reconciliation with us. We need reconciliation with each other. He chose to manifest Himself in a very vulnerable human being who absolutely demonstrates perfect love.
There's a hymn that comes to mind. You said the words of which we won't ask you to sing it, but there's a hymn that comes to mind that has special meaning for you.
It has meant everything to me for many Christmases. It's "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Last night I listened to Johnny Cash sing it. I mean, no one can use that song without being touched because it is hope and peace. It says, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And then it goes on to describe how the lyricist thought, you know, we don't see peace. We don't have peace on earth. We're far from where we want to be, often in our families, but certainly in the world. But then there's this triumphant ending. "Then peal the bells more loud and clear. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward all."
And that is your prayer for yourself, your own family, for your beautiful church family, and for our world.
It is.
Peace.
The very word peace or shalom just bring what to my heart is Christmas and New Year's. The whole search in New Year will be to feel that throughout.
Like as you speak to your own heart, we speak to each other, and to Chuck, our wonderful producer, we speak to each other in the wonder of all of this. As we look for peace, as you see it, how does that take shape? How does it take form in our individual lives, in our individual hearts at this time?
For me, it takes form in that daily conversation with God, in starting the day, hopefully prioritizing what God wants me to do rather than all the things. I mean, it's chaotic. It's frenzied. Life can be as crazy as we let it be. But if we start with God and end the day with God, Edson Way, the former rector, had a great door tag that said, "The rector is taking 10 minutes Sabbath." You flip that and just 10 minutes, take a breather and listen to God. Someone gave me Augustine's prayer book. And the very first page in this version of it, "As we go forward, remember, Christian soul, that today and every day you have in all things God's love to sustain you." That's where I'll find peace this year.
And that's the peace you would wish for people who are listening with us.
Absolutely.
See.
May you find peace. May you find reconciliation and forgiveness. We all need both. And may you go forward in the hope of Christ.
And there's a lot of darkness that we all experience in the remembrance of those people we miss. Elizabeth just remembered, you know, in her work with hospice, and especially the remembrances of inviting to the table the memories of our loved ones. Does that resonate for you too?
Absolutely. I've mentioned my son on the program.
Of course.
And he was Mr. Christmas.
Tell us about him again, because I just love him.
Jonathan had lived a very full life with cerebral palsy for 26 years. And he started Christmas the day after Thanksgiving by buying the first Save the Children tie of the year. Every year, then we would look at Christmas lights and we would just do everything we could to just milk the season to its fullest.
I love that. How nice.
I let him guide me. I still do those things.
I have that lovely picture after our previous program. You sent me a pic, which I carry with me. And I think of him and you in that loving relationship. And what a brave, wonderful soul he is.
He is. And that's the promise of our faith, is that we are our communion of saints.
And I love when I think of the angels, I think of your beloved son and of the other people that we love as being part of that. When we sing out the song of the angels, that our loved ones are surely joined in that chorus.
Absolutely. Without that promise, life would be rather desolate.
Now, a final prayer, if you will, or thought or feeling for our listeners on both Christmas Eve first and then for New Year's Eve, what would it be?
It would be that the darkness is cast away. Whatever your darkness is, it can be cast away by the grace of God. And with faith, work on it, acknowledge it.
And these moments of great light that we have, it's not
the
all.
The light is here for the taking. Remember, we are children of light.
It's a delight to have you, Jennifer, and to you and to your family and to your beloved community of St. Christopher's. Blessings on Christmas Eve and again on New Year's Eve.
And to you as well, sweet
Thank
friend.
You. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. At the beginning of today's program, I introduced our voices of Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. I introduced by name Reverend Davis Price, who is the pastor emeritus from Covenant Presbyterian.
Good to be here with you in this season, Tom.
Let's speak to Christmas Eve, first of all. What does it mean to you?
Well, I think Christmas Eve is that time when we take the hopes and dreams we've had and say, now it's come to fruition. People usually, of course, on Christmas Eve love the candlelight service. It's a time when that light enters our life in a visual way, and it creates a kind of warmth that carries us on through. I think it's a way, though, to, in many ways, ignite the hope.
And, of course, you mentioned that home you have a little tree. Tell us about the tree.
Well, it's a small wooden tree, less than 2 feet tall, with just four branches sticking through a stick. It sits on a table, so you can hang something at each level. And at the top level, there's a little straw star from the Philippines made by someone there in the third world. The second level, we have hanging a little from Bethlehem, an olive wood carving of the Nativity. That same level, a little angel with a trumpet from Peru in clay. Down below, some bells out of straw from Ecuador. And then on the bottom level, we have a little squat figure, a little angel made by a Guatemalan peasant out of rattan and cotton. She's called that angel the Angel of Hope. And across from it on the other side is an orb, a ball, green and blue, made by a friend here. It looks very much like the orb of the earth. It looks just like it. Little tree, in many ways, I think, demonstrates for me what it's like to think about the intention that's there in the star from space, God's intention for this earth and its peoples, and how it's given flesh, incarnation in the Nativity, and how finally we come to say what's left with us is the Angel of Hope blessing this orb on which we live, and how much we need that.
In the midst of so much despair, so much suffering, so much confusion and division, how would you proclaim a message of hope to our broken world this year?
I think we have to say, slow as it may be, we are making progress. That there is some light, there is some consciousness. We now know simply because of how we can communicate about other people in other part of this world. I mean, the Rohingya people in one place, the folks of the West Bank in another place, the difficulties of North Korea, the brokenness that's all around us, we know about it. But I keep thinking God's light shines even there. That's this little squat figure, the angel of hope over the orb. Interestingly enough, this Advent season, we listened in worship one day to the service of carols and scripture. And it really struck me as I sat listening rather than leading what it was like to begin in the garden and what it was like to end finally with light in the world as the word come into light, and how much that has been a struggle from the garden for the serpent brain to give way to the higher brain. You know, I thought to myself, well, you know, at least Eve had some awareness, some consciousness, and she knew that there was a struggle between this higher brain with which we've been endowed and the serpent brain, who wanted to use her higher brain in its own work. And at least she had consciousness about it. I don't think the man did much. All he could say was, oh, yeah, it's her fault. But then we come back again, you know, and there was a reading about Abraham and about not sacrificing his son, which I take it to be an inbreaking of God's consciousness and light, that child sacrifice was no longer to be.
As you look to in the season of Christmas and the ongoing season of Christmas in New Year's, what would your hope and prayer be for us here in Lubbock?
Well, it's been our honor to be a part of this community. I think I would want to come back to what that last reading is in the carols and scripture about the Gospel of John. The light is here. The Word is in the world, whether we recognize it or not. And that's been the problem all along. As we try to evolve as community, as we try to evolve as individuals, and if in fact we can realize that there's an intention higher than where we currently live, then I think we can be pulled into that future. I hope that for Lubbock. I'm sure that that's happening in places here where we have evolved, where we have paid attention to the light that's been given, where the Word is here and sometimes not recognized.
Let there be peace on earth, but let it begin with me.
So. That's a good line. Or as we pray in most Christian circles all the time, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's that same sort of notion. And I think we can draw hope from the fact that we live in that intention as we make any progress at all. We are moving in the right direction, and we still are enfolded in God's hope and love, even if we don't move very fast.
As gentle movement towards a greater being, and in that rhythm of God's love being worked out day to day in all of our lives, in the small things as well as in the big things.
Absolutely. Living in a higher consciousness, and it creates a community of its own, finding people who are willing to live in that higher consciousness.
As you and I try to live our own individual spirituality, do you think that meditation, mindfulness, is an essential part of who we are?
Absolutely, and in this season, perhaps more than any other. Mindful of God's presence in us and in the world. It is hard sometimes to remember that when we get so busy and caught up, but I think we're only distracting ourselves from that deeper inner resource that we need, which comes by way of contemplation. This season is such a better season to do that than some others. The quietness, the stillness, even the darkness is there for the purpose of letting us come into closer contact with that.
I keep coming back to that image of your beautiful tree. That is such a powerful image, an intimate glimpse into your own life, into your own home. So as we finish this celebration, share it, a thought, if you will, with our listeners.
I think it goes on the line of go out into the world in peace, hold on to what is good, return no one evil for evil, act in the strength of God's goodness and light, and the God of peace will be with you.
And to all of our listeners, on behalf of all of our guests today, on behalf of Chuck Luck, our producer, and the station here, we wish to all of our listeners a blessed, holy time, Christmas Eve, first of all, and then New Year's Eve, and then the blessings of ongoing peace within and peace without in the year that lies ahead. Thank you so much, Davis. It's been a joy to have you with us.
Thank you.
Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought as now this day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rung so long the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth,
been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.